Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see him for who he is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the B4 Podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And today we are talking and introducing, we are talking about
Advent.
And introducing
Advent.
Advent.
I said it twice, but I was really excited about it.
You were really excited. It's an exciting time of year.
It is an exciting time of year. And we have these lovely Advent devotionals that hopefully, yeah, that Pastor Brad talked about last week. And hopefully if you've been in person in service, you've been able to pick one up.
Yeah, big shout out to Ashley as sort of project manager, editor, and author of much of this book.
Yes.
Which many people won't ever know. But you, if you're listening to this podcast, you will know.
Yes. This is my second devotional that I wrote this year. So it was kind of fun. It was a little weird to go from, I think I wrote the Lent one in January and then started thinking about the Advent one in like March.
Yeah.
So it was a little early to think about Christmas.
Well, it's funny because even in the last few weeks, you know, we've been writing.
Yep.
Editing,
working on Lent already.
Working on Lent for next year. And so like you, I'm supposed to be in the mindset of Christmas and I am in the mindset of Lent.
I have had the same problem.
Yeah. So, but I am excited about this project.
Yeah.
And,
me too.
I think it's cool that for a very long time, you've wanted to be a writer.
That is true.
You are a writer. Not wanted to be. You do write.
Yes, I do write things.
Tell us about that. Because I think it's important to know the person behind the project a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was really cool to be able to do the Lent book because, I mean, I've been coming here since 2014 and I'd seen various devotionals that have been put out and I was always like, I would like to do that.
Yeah, I remember like, those conversations.
How do I get that job?
Yeah.
And I think the answer apparently was that you give it to yourself. That was kind of what I did with the Lent book.
You had somebody in your corner.
Yeah,
on that one too.
I had an idea last Christmas for Lent. And so I came to you and said, what do you think about doing this? And you said, go for it. And we did kind of rush that one.
Sure.
Because we had to get it printed in time and everything. But it was interesting with that one. I felt like I wrote the devotional that I needed in that particular season. Mm-hmm. And my Christmas last year felt a little too much like Lent. So it kind of worked out. I was like, okay, like I'm already feeling in this like lamenty kind of space.
Yeah.
And so writing the Lent devotional came about pretty easily. It actually was hard then when we were like, we should do an Advent one and we want to be more on top of it. So we're going to start earlier. So I was trying to write about Christmas during the season of Lent, which was actually very difficult. And so it's funny, I have two documents on my computer. One is Advent Devotional 2021. And then I have another one that's called Advent Try Number 2. And that's because the first Advent one was a little too Lenty and a little too sad. Carol Ann is in here and she is nodding because she saw the first one and she kind of gave that feedback and I kind of knew.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that I don't think I would have been able to write this Advent book if some personal things in my life hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So the Lent devotional came out of a struggle with infertility and all kinds of and everything that went with that. And in the middle of writing the Advent devotional, I found out I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And that was when I was able to do try number two.
Yeah. You're connecting now with the story. Yeah.
Yeah. It actually felt a little more happy because the Advent devotional focuses on the idea of longing, of the longings that we have that are unfulfilled. And that really is the message of Advent is the first Advent, the people of Israel were longing for a savior. Now in Advent, we are longing for the savior to return.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to write about God fulfilling longings for the first couple of months and trying to write the Advent one and not feeling like that was happening for me. So God was gracious and allowed me to have a fulfilled longing so that it could be a little happier.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, this might not have been as happy.
It might have been a sad devotional.
Might have been a very sad Advent devotional.
That's a really cool story. It's birthed out of your own personal journey.
Very literally birthed.
Literally.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a couple things I want to ask you. One is, although the theme is longing, you picked a particular pathway for the 40 days to traverse. And I want to hear a little bit about that. And then at the same time, about how the devotional tool works.
Sure, yeah.
So you can cover both of those things for me?
Yeah. So in some ways, like with Lent, I wrote what I needed. With Advent, I had had an idea for a long time, actually, about an Advent devotional that kind of traced the entire story of the people of Israel. And I had had it when I was blogging on my own, and I was like, I'm going to write this thing, but I never did. So then when it was like, oh, I have a job, and the job is now to write an Advent devotional,
yeah.
That was like, oh, I've already kind of had this idea for a while. And so I think, I guess I realized in the last couple of years, kind of the parallel and how deep it is of the longings of the nation of Israel and the longings that we have in longing for a savior, longing for redemption. And so because I have had the privilege to be able to go to Bible college and also have my MDiv, I've spent a lot of time swimming in that story of like, this is the big arc of the biblical story. And I realized that a lot of people haven't gotten the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be able to create a tool to kind of help you to see that arc of like, here's creation. Here's how we know things are supposed to be. Here's Genesis 3 and why they're not that way. And here's this entire Bible that's showing us in little pieces how God is slowly working out this plan that he's setting all things right. Mm-hmm. And along the way, he's working through the longings of individuals. He's working through the longings of a nation. He's working through the longings of the world to bring about, here's Jesus who fulfills all of these things. Mm-hmm. So the devotional goes literally from Genesis to Revelation. So we do start the first week talking about creation, how things are supposed to be, kind of setting the stage of like, why is it that we all have longings that like, even when we have everything that we think we want, it always still feels like something is missing. Mm-hmm. And so I think the creation story kind of gives an answer to that. All the other stories along the way, I think there's a lot that we learn about our longings, about the longings of our world. And then we see a picture in Revelation of this is actually what it looks like when these longings are fulfilled.
Right.
And this is where we're getting to.
Right.
And right now we're in the messy middle.
Yeah.
And that's why the celebration of Advent is so important. It's a reminder that we're in the middle, but we already know the end.
Yeah.
We know what's coming. We're just waiting for it to get here.
Yeah. From a personal standpoint, this idea, I don't know if it's an idea, but probably say more like a reality of how the Bible is this one large unfolding story. Mm-hmm. And time again, it's about the deep longing of like the deepest part of who we are and of humanity being fulfilled, changed my life completely. And so when you came to me and you asked me and kind of presented this idea, it also resonated with my heart. Mm-hmm. And I figured, if it resonated with you and it resonated with me, it's got to resonate with everybody, right?
Yeah.
But I'm curious if you could share a little bit about how the tool actually works. Like what is the structure of this whole process?
Yeah. So it's similar in a lot of ways to what we did with the Lent devotional. So every day there are scripture readings. Some of the passages, like for instance, the first day is Genesis 1 through 2. But because I realized that not everybody probably has time to read two chapters of the scripture every day, we've also given some suggestions of like, here's where you want to hone in on. So I tried to keep those to like 15 to 20 verses. There might be a couple that are a little longer than that. Then there's some introductory material that just kind of, it gives you any background that you need to know in order to understand the story. Because even though we're tracing the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we're obviously not hitting everything in 40 days.
Sure.
So sometimes there has to be a little bit of setup or a little bit of explanation
for
what's
going
on.
You can't hit everything in
40 days. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we could, but it probably wouldn't be very nice. And then we also have then some writing prompts. So there are actually in these writing prompts more questions than I would like you to answer. But I'm of the opinion that you should offer more questions because some are going to resonate with people and some aren't. And so answer the ones that you resonate with you and ignore the other ones. That's totally fine. And then each day also has some kind of response. So some of those are suggested actions or activities. Some of them are more like prayer prompts or just things to consider. Yeah. And then a few are actually encouragements to memorize particular pieces of scripture too.
Now, if you're flipping through the book, you're going to run into something called a grace day.
Yes.
What is that?
Grace day is a couple of things. One, you know, like sometimes you get behind. So it's nice to have a day when you can catch up.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you're coming to church on Sunday, you don't want to spend, you know, time in church and then go home and do more something sure. that's church. Potentially you've got other things going on. And two, it's a reminder that we need grace. We need space yeah. to breathe.
Yeah.
We need rest. And so those are important. I like having those in there. Well, we also have, just so you know, on Saturdays, we had multiple people, both from our staff and a couple of volunteers as well, that wrote some pieces just kind of summing up or giving their perspective on the theme of that week.
Yeah.
So in addition to hearing some of my thoughts on the scripture passages, there's six other people in there who have written passages that we hope you just enjoy hearing another perspective,
another tone,
another style.
That's really cool.
Just to, you know, enjoy all the wonderful writers and thinkers that yeah. we have around here.
What would be the prayer for somebody who like sort of journeyed through this for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
What would be some of the things that you would hope for?
Mm-hmm.
From their experience?
I think one of the biggest things for me, and one of the reasons that I kind of honed in on the idea of longing besides personal reasons, was I just want people to appreciate the fact that God is aware of those things, and he's aware, but he's also working on them. And sometimes it takes a really long time for the things that we long for us to see what God is doing. And I think the encouragement from scripture is reading so many stories of so many people that had that experience of Abraham and Sarah, who are, God told them, you're going to have a child, even though you're 80 and you're barren. But it takes, 20, 30, 40, I can't even remember the number. It's a long time between when God makes that promise and when it actually happens. And that's kind of a repeated theme. Is this idea of God making promises, but it just taking longer than we think it should.
Yeah.
And knowing that God is there in that waiting and God is there in that longing. And even there's the song, even when we don't see it, you're working,
mm-hmm.
The truth of that. So that's kind of one of my big things. And the other is just appreciating the biblical story of being able sure. to see like how God actually does have a plan, and you can see how he works it out in a very, maybe not logical in the way that we would think of logic, like at the time, maybe didn't feel logical. But when we look back, it's like, wow, this is a really well thought out plan. And there were a lot of moving pieces here. And somehow sure. you've kept them all together. And at the end, we can kind of see the beautiful result of that.
Yeah.
So what we thought we'd do for the month of December, since we have these Advent devotionals and we have this podcast, we figured we'd kind of combine. And so we'll spend the next couple weeks, each week we'll have a new episode that'll come out, and it'll just be focused on that particular week
yeah.
of the Advent devotional. So we did a little bit of introduction behind the scenes today.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time we'll just kind of look at the first week. So yeah. Alex,
yeah,
what stood out for you in yeah. the first week of this lovely little book?
Well, thanks for asking.
As if we didn't plan that.
Yeah. Well, so the passages of scripture that you're prompted to read, these are like foundational, life-changing
mm-hmm.
chapters of the Bible for me. Genesis 1 and 2, I believe, are, if you were to like give me 5 pages of the Bible, these would be 2 of them that would be there. For me personally, I as I'm reading these, one of the things that stands out to me is how unique the creation of humanity is in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The backdrop of our culture and history has told us, by and large, that we were like an accident, you know, sort mm-hmm. of evolved out of some amorphous pits.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, and then, and then we've created some really strange ideas about what that means, but a lot of what's communicated is, in essence, you're an accident,
mm-hmm.
that your creation was random, and as such, you have no purpose or destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hopeless.
It's not a very cheery picture of the world, actually.
No, and you know, it's also interesting, like you, I have the privilege of being able to study the Bible for a long time, and so one of the things I learned is how many like ancient stories
mm-hmm.
start similarly to this. You know, ancient religions that would start with yeah. a similar
creation
story.
Some of them are very weird.
They are.
There's a lot of procreation stories that are, you're like, did they tell this to children?
Yeah, and they did.
Yes.
But one thing that I remember, I don't remember all the details of all those stories, but I remember one common theme was that humans were always made to be subservient to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
They were made to do their dirty work. They were, mm-hmm. or they were made to, you know, because they needed to praise the gods in order to give them power. But they were not created like Genesis says they were,
mm-hmm.
in the image of God, and then charged with stewardship over all creation.
Yeah, there's a lack of, like, Genesis gives dignity to humanity, yeah. where in most of the other creation stories, they're humans are kind of like slaves.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're pets, they're slaves, they're annoying. That's the idea. But not in the Bible. I remember this, you know, as you read the Bible more and more, you begin to have memories of times when you read certain things and mm-hmm. it came to life to you. When I was in college, I went to U of O when I started my college. And like one of the first professors I had was using the ancient Near Eastern history pretty much to try to tear apart my Christianity and citing all of these ancient creation myths. And so it really shook me up. But then as I was reading those stories, it stood out to me even more that actually God sees us so differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it encouraged me, right? So it was funny. This passage reminds me of a time when the very thing someone tried to use to dismantle my faith, it actually built it up. The other thing I love about this section of scripture and why it means so much to me is because it gives us a glimpse of God's heart for us.
Mm-hmm.
I remember preaching to a bunch of high school students, Genesis 1 and 2, a long time ago. And I was like, guys, hear me on this. God created the world good. He landed us in this garden called Eden, which means delight. He put naked Eve in front of Adam. And he said—
And all the high schoolers are excited about that.
He said, have fun and like enjoy the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when that like clicked, like that's literally how the story starts with God.
Mm-hmm.
I realized God is not this angry, bearded, white, old man in the sky looking to smite me, or both, you know, and waiting for me to get out of line. He is this loving, benevolent, good creator that put me in this place called paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me changed everything. So again, starting here, and there's a long-winded way of saying it, but starting here was just life-changing for me. Just seeing God as who he is. This is why if I had 5 pages of scripture, I would hold on to that because I think it paints such a beautiful picture of who God is.
Yeah. I think one of the ones that I picked because it was weird but was very like meaningful to me was actually the beginning of the Noah story, which doesn't seem very Christmassy.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time reading that and reading that like God looked at humanity and he was grieved. Like his heart was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea that we can break God's heart kind of goes to that idea of dignity that you were talking mm-hmm. about. From the beginning of Genesis, that I think up until that point, I had kind of seen God where like, I'm supposed to love you and you kind of just feel indifferent to me. Like you want me mm-hmm. to follow you, but you're kind of like a rule giver. And this thought that like, oh, God actually longs for us in the same way that we long for him, in the same way that we long for relationships with other people. And that's why that story is in there, in case you were wondering, is just being able to appreciate that we actually, God does have a longing for us. God wants to be with us. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to break God's heart. And yeah, he's all powerful and he doesn't need us, but he wants us.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such a cool thing to think about.
Yeah.
Especially in the middle of, and it goes with Jesus. Like he wants us so much. He's willing to like go through the really weird process mm-hmm. of like being in Mary's womb and then being born, which I'm doing a lot of research on right now. And it's very weird.
Yeah.
And you know, living and going through puberty and having awkward interactions with girls and being rejected by friends. And then, mm-hmm. you know, to the end of suffering and dying on a cross.
Yeah.
That's how much he longs for us.
Yeah.
To be able to do all that.
Yeah. It's interesting because both of our stories that like we shared, the things mm-hmm. that stood out to us, they're different. mm-hmm. but they have a very common thread, mm-hmm. a common theme, which is that God longs to be with us.
Yeah.
And from the creation story, he did not need to make us.
No.
He was fine without us.
No, I actually have some questions about what he was doing before we were there. Like, were you just bored or like, how did that work?
Oh, don't get me down that rabbit trail.
Oh, I know. That's a whole nother.
He's a creator. I'm sure that there was lots of things he was up to before we got into the picture. But the idea that out of this deep drive and desire of love, he creates people with the capacity to love him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the story, which is so tragic, is that we turn our back to that God, and yet he still longs to draw us near over and over again. And like you said, ultimately, the story of Advent is about the story of a God who draws near.
Mm-hmm.
A God who, you know, invents the birthing process, knows it better than, you know,
anyone else.
Your midwives and doctors and
or the terrifying book I read.
Yeah, way better. Understands it because he crafted it and created it, then submitted himself to it. It's just so that he could be with us.
Yeah.
It truly is the most mind-boggling thing in the world.
Yeah. And there is a romance to it, not to like mm-hmm. use that necessarily in the like lovey-dovey male-female love, but the idea of like, it isn't like he just runs in and does it quickly. It's this long thought-out process over time, and all of the little pieces and all of the ways that he works to restore and works mm-hmm. to set things right. I think that's what I find so beautiful and so cool in seeing that culmination and Jesus' first Advent coming.
You know, in what we just did, which is share like our own reflections on a couple different days and stories, I think it's interesting if we were to pick that apart a little bit and share with other people about how we got to the conclusions that we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because devotional tools are interesting to me. Devotional reading of the Bible has mm-hmm. always been a fascinating thing for me. I think it's important. I also think that we can come to some really bizarre conclusions of certain passages.
True.
You know, one of the schools of thought or a really important principle when you're diving through a devotional material is to approach it with humility,
mm-hmm.
Particularly from the lens like, in order to really understand what God is doing, you often have to see the consistency of who God reveals himself to be from cover to cover mm-hmm. of what we call the Bible,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, in the Noah story, for example, God's grieved that he made people. That's what it says. And so if you only look at that one thing without looking at the previous section that I talked about, Genesis 1 and 2.
Or the section that comes after when he promises he's never going to destroy the earth again.
Right. You will have an incomplete picture of who God is.
Yeah.
And this is often what shakes so many people's faith is they'll read one story mm-hmm. that feels like this is an abhorrent God, but they'll read it out of the context of the rest of the story
mm-hmm.
where over and over and over again, it's a different picture.
Yeah.
And so the school of thought I was taught is this: if one story disagrees with the overarching evidence, there is a high likelihood that you don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You're missing something.
So from a devotional perspective, why this is important is, and why I mentioned humility, there's going to be times in the next 40 days where you're going to read something and it will make you scratch your head.
Yeah.
It might make
you mad, or it just might make you confused.
Yes. Yeah. Or you may think you already know what it's saying and you have mm-hmm. no need to pull anything new from it.
Yeah.
So my encouragement, this is Pastor Alex coming on. My encouragement for you is to really, really, really just approach every day with humility. Not as if you don't know anything. Our examples, we pulled history and stuff that we learned, but with an open hand that maybe there's something new for you to take away. And that's good whether you're familiar with mm-hmm. these passages or whether you have no idea what they've said and you've never read them before.
Yes. And there are a combination. There's a lot of very common stories in there that I hope you'll look at with new eyes. But there's also mm-hmm. of some that are a bit more obscure that hopefully will add to your understanding And feel free, if you get confused, you can always reach out to us. We're, you know,
we would love that, actually. Yeah.
We'll include our email addresses in the show notes. Yeah. If you want to, if you have a question, you can come to us and
we might be confused with you.
Yeah, we may say we don't get that either. So we don't expect all the answers, but we'll do our best.
Definitely. All right. Awesome. Well, next week we'll talk about week two.
We will talk about week two. So if you haven't already, make sure that you have picked up one of the devotionals. You can either pick them up in our lobby if you're here on us for a service on Sunday or Thursday. They're also available online on our website if you want to access an electronic copy. We're going to continue these conversations actually through the first week of January, because that's how long the Advent devotional goes. It goes all the way to the celebration of Epiphany that we talked about on the podcast last year. So if you want to make sure you don't miss any of those, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. We will have a link to both iTunes and Spotify if you have trouble finding us on either of those platforms, but you want to subscribe. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. You not only get this lovely conversational podcast on Tuesdays, you'll also get the weekly liturgy podcast on Thursdays. And actually, for the time of our Advent devotional, the readings for the weekly liturgy podcast will actually be taken out of there. So you'll also get to hear somebody else's perspective on some of those passages. And then, of course, you'll get our weekly teachings on weekly teaching podcast that comes out on Monday. So you can keep up with what's happening on Sunday mornings and Thursday nights. We'll see you guys next week. Merry Christmas.